Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance, a podcast about the intersection of sports and business here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And this week, we're going to be talking about a new, booming, upcoming, big-time global sport that many of you probably don't know about necessarily and don't play. And that's because it actually even has a qualifier before sport. It's esports. So electronic sports, basically professional video gaming. And I wasn't much of a video game player as a young kid. My parents didn't let me have a Game Boy. And maybe they were right. They thought it was going to be bad for me in the long run. But eventually I started playing some video games. But now you see all of these little kids with their iPads at the dinner table. And who knows, maybe one day they'll turn into multi-million dollar professional video game players, because that is somewhat how the industry is trending. And as most of you know, video games have been around for a long time, popularized in the early 70s, relatively Atari arcade games, and then through the early 80s, Nintendo. And now, as most of you know, mobile gaming is huge. You see people on your way to work on buses, trains, playing video games on their phone, everywhere. I mean, video games have become a booming industry. And to put it into a little bit of a growth perspective or general perspective of how much money video games make, and this isn't esports specific, but this is video games in general. The industry projected in 2017 from a Newzoo report, which is a big market research firm that's based in Amsterdam that tracks the world of video games pretty well. They expect it to be a $109 billion industry in 2017, with an estimated 2.2 billion, that's billion with a B, people playing video games. And esports is becoming more popular as well. So this is the professional video game playing world. And some colleges are now giving out scholarships for people who play video games. Robert Morris University in Chicago is doing it. They have their own League of Legends varsity level team. The Paris 2024 Summer Olympics, they just got it a month ago, maybe. They're in talks with the IOC to perhaps test out esports at the 2024 Summer Games. The Olympic Committee of Asia is officially going to have esports in their 2018 Asian Games, and then it'll be a full medal sport by 2022. And that was spurred in part by Alibaba, the big Chinese conglomerate, pushing to have it in the Asian Games. So it's getting pretty big, but we haven't really talked about exactly what it is yet. Basically, esports is professional video gaming, though everyone's not a professional, and most of the people who are involved are actually watching it, and as of now, they've all been watching it on streaming platforms. So they're a little bit ahead of the curve, whereas all the other big sports are just starting to figure out they need to stream their games, whereas esports has always been online and people are always streaming it themselves. So they're on the right trajectory in terms of where people are going, where viewership is going. So the esports world in 2017. So this is now, again, professional video gaming, the market, people watching it, advertisers promoting it, marketers. That world is going to make $696 million in 2017, a 41% increase in 1 year. That's a big number. I mean, it's not massive compared to other sports, but when you think about the fact that it's people playing video games, streaming on the web, it kind of seems insane that they're making almost $700 million from that. And what's even a little more crazy is that by 2020, so just 3 years from now, it's going to be a $1.5 billion industry. And this is once again from that big Newzoo report. And the audience is really where you start to realize that esports has the potential to become a massive sport going forward. And I keep saying sport, some people might not say it's actually a sport. It's never really going to be a sport that people think of like football or soccer, because it's not really athletic. It's more hand-eye coordination and putting in the time to know strategy. So it's more like fast pace, virtual shooting, some chess. It's a chess-like game, you could say. So the audience in 2017 is supposed to be 385 million people. So that's more people than live in the United States. That's way more people than watch the NFL. So it's a global phenomenon. It's really popular in Asia. South Korea is the mecca of esports. And it's really popular in Europe, really popular in North America. It has the potential to be a big, hugely popular global game. Say, like soccer or basketball is trending in that direction, with the NBA being now a fourth foreign-born player. So esports, soccer, and basketball, you wouldn't really think all of those would be connected in the terms of global sports audience growth, but esports is definitely more globally popular than most American sports when you think of Major League Baseball or the NFL. I mean, pretty much no one watches that outside of the States. And what's even better for companies that are getting involved in esports and the video games companies, marketers, people who are now jumping in to stream this, is the fan base is generally employed 18 to 35 year old males who are becoming much harder to reach, guaranteed on other platforms like television and stuff like that. So it's a huge demographic that advertisers and marketers really want to hit, which is good for everyone who's involved in this. And what's also interesting is that one in every three esports fans, and this is based on a new Nielsen esports research, which Nielsen is now covering esports specifically. They have a new esports leg, and they partnered with ESPN and Facebook, Major League Gaming, a couple of the big gaming companies like Activision Blizzard, and they partner with YouTube. Basically, they're going to track esports better than anyone has so far. But this Nielsen report is saying that one in every three esports fans started following within just the last year. So it's growing, and people are just now catching on a bigger scale. So it has the potential to really explode, since it's already getting relatively big. And most of the people who are watching it now, or a decent portion, a third of them, just started watching it. And we've talked about how marketers want to be in on this and advertisers want to be in on this because the demographics and the population booming for video games and specifically esports within just the last couple of years. But where are people consuming this now? And that is, like I said before, mostly on online, on streaming services such as Twitch, which is a huge, huge platform. And actually, it is ranked in the top 50. It hangs between 50 and 40 in the most used websites at all times. So it's right around eBay. I mean, it's pretty crazy that if you go on at any time, I mean, it's 24/7 video game streaming. And say if you went on right now, whatever you're doing right now, if you just went on to twitch.tv, there'd be, say, 50 different streams going on with a variety of maybe 5,000 people to 200,000 people watching one specific esports game. And it could be a tournament, or it could be a pro who's streaming their practice. This is one of the people interviewed said, imagine if you really were into esports, analogous to saying you like the NBA. He said it's like if LeBron James was just streaming his practices 24/7, which I guess he kind of does sometimes on Instagram, but imagine if you could just watch everything he was doing all the time. And that's how these pro gamers have started to make more money before the leagues are popping up, where big sponsors are getting in because they're live streaming everything and they're interacting with fans. So right now, it's all on streaming, relatively. YouTube Gaming has its own specific, like I said, gaming channel. And Amazon actually bought Twitch. So they got ahead of this. Actually, 3 years ago, they bought Twitch for just under $1 billion. So this video game streaming platform, Amazon, who's now buying everything and growing exponentially, 3 years ago bought a streaming video game platform that people are probably like, what is this? And they bought it for $1 billion. But now it's probably going to seem like it was a huge discount. And people are also in more mainstream services and news outlets, ESPN's getting in on this. They have a whole esports vertical with ESPN esports staff writers. They have an esports podcast that's really well produced. NBC Sports has covered a couple events, and TBS is now on TV esports. The schedule's a little sporadic now. It was going on over the summer. I think it's going to lessen a little bit in the fall, but TBS is all in. ESPN's all in. Not all in right now, but they don't have money to waste, and they're putting resources into esports because they're ready for it to boom. And when it booms, I'm sure they're going to be ready to jump on it. So that's something that when they test out their streaming platform in 2018, you could see maybe esports beyond that. Okay, and so since I'm a little bit of an esports novice and I'm not currently a big gamer myself, a lot of the leagues and the different games and this global sport was a little over my head because there's so much going on all at once. There's so many different games, so many different leagues, so many different tournaments. But in 2016, there were 424 esports events. So one game, a tournament, something like that. 424 that had a prize pool specifically above $50,000 worldwide. Most of them were held in North America, or 30%, and then the rest were spread out around Europe, Asia. But 424 events, and ticket revenue for those 424 events was $32 million. So people are actually going to these events and spending money like you would to go see an NFL game or a Major League Baseball game. They're going to these events and spending a lot of money to see it. And right now, think of this, that esports has sold out the Staples Center, which is where the Lakers and the Clippers play. And they've sold it out a couple times for big events. They've sold out Key Arena in Seattle and different events throughout the states. And two different NFL teams moved to LA, the Rams and the Chargers. And now this season, they can't even come close to selling out any of their games. They're having 20,000 people show up to NFL games. And there's 20,000 people showing up to esports in Los Angeles. That, for me, put it into perspective of, wow, I mean, if LA doesn't have people showing up to Rams games and they have just as many people showing up to an esports tournament, it kind of makes you see where the trajectory is going. And the pro sports esports athletes are making money. So total prize money in 2016 was $93 million. And that was up 50% year over year. So spread out around all these players, $93 million. So a decent amount of these guys are making six figures. I mean, six figures for playing video games. That to me is kind of insane. I would have never thought that at all, that people could be making a huge, great living playing video games. In one tournament specifically, that's supposedly the biggest tournament every year, the International, which is a Defense of the Ancients or Dota 2 tournament, just this one, I think it's a six-day tournament, there was $25 million in prize money given out in just that one tournament. And one team pretty much won all of the events this year. So they took home a lot of money, $25 million in a six-day period for video games. Think about that. That is just mind-blowing to me, to be honest. It's really kind of over my head. But one of the new leagues that is being started is a little less complicated, and it translates more to the pro sports model of today, of the normal pro sports fan would understand this new model, that Activision Blizzard, big company, $50 billion company, they're starting an Overwatch League. So Overwatch is one of their first-person shooter games, and they just started this league. It's officially going to start preseason in early December and then have real games, matches, whatever you want to put it, January 10th. A season runs through early June, and then they're going to have a playoff format with a championship that ends in July. So it's basically the NBA. I mean, they're setting it up. There are 12 teams. It was $20 million to buy a franchise, and they're going to be city-based. So there's 12 teams for this inaugural season of the Overwatch League. There's going to be teams in LA, San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, Philadelphia, Shanghai, London, And like I said, $20 million to buy one of these teams. So Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, bought a team. One of the top executives with the New York Mets from Major League Baseball bought a team. The LA Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, bought a team. So clearly these big pro American sports owners are seeing this $20 million. That's nothing. They're thinking, buy this now, 10, 15, 20 years, this is going to be a billion-dollar franchise. I mean, it would be like maybe buying an NBA team in the early 70s for chump change, and now they're selling for $2 billion. And what's even more cool for the players themselves, so this new league is going to be a league like the NBA where there's games regularly scheduled. So the inaugural season of this Overwatch League, there are going to be 12 teams, and there is a minimum salary for the teams are going to be 6 to 12 players. It's up to the discretion of the owner. But the minimum salary they're already setting in the first ever season of this is $50,000 for players. And to put that in some perspective, Major League Soccer, MLS, which is supposedly the big growing sport, there are 50 players in Major League Soccer who make about $50,000 right now. And Major League Soccer has been a sport for 20 years in America. And bonuses will be available in the first season. In the winning team who wins the championship will split $1 million prize. But over the season, they're going to give out $3.5 million in bonuses. Players get health insurance. They're going to start having revenue sharing in the future. And this is just the first ever season of this. It's basically a concept idea that they're just running with. And another gaming company is also doing the same thing that Blizzard's doing. Riot Games is starting a new team franchise model of its League of Legends league here in North America. The buy-in to buy a team was $10 million, so a little bit less than the Overwatch League, but it's going to be the same concept where it's more standardized, there's player salaries, there's a more regular schedule. In their first season, it's going to kick off relatively soon. Players are going to make a minimum of $75,000 to play video games on a team, which in my mind is crazy. And they're going to split merchandising revenue. So people are going to be buying League of Legends X team jersey. And you might see your son or daughter wearing this in the future. And League of Legends is going to be streamed because BAM Tech, which is the digital media leg of Major League Baseball, that Disney now has a huge stake in 2015 or 16, within the last couple of years, they paid Riot $300 million for the rights to stream any League of Legends tournaments and do the ads. And basically, they're going to do that for $300 million until 2023. So BAM Tech got on that early. League of Legends League is going to be similar to the Overwatch League. And those are more standardized models that the regular sports fan can understand. Teams, city-based, regular schedule, playoffs, players get salaries. It's not all prize money from one-off tournaments. But these are the people that are just getting in on this, and they're willing to pay all this money. So clearly, there's already big-time players that have been in on esports, in the esports phenomenon, for at least a little bit now. And some of them are really big names that you might not associate with esports, clearly, especially if you don't watch esports or know anything about it. Coca-Cola was a huge esports marketer over the last couple of years. They sponsored last year's League of Legends World Final. American Express is a big advertiser and marketer. Geico, Bud Light, Audi, Buffalo Wild Wings. Philadelphia 76ers, their owner owns a team. Washington Wizards owner owns a team. One of the Golden State Warriors owners also owns a team. Magic Johnson is the primary investor in one of the big famous teams that if you're into esports, you know, which is Team Liquid. Shaquille O'Neal is now a big owner of one of the teams as well. So people have been in on this before the last year or so, but as you can see, it's trending to where people who are tied to big time pro sports in America are getting in on the ground floor, so to speak, of esports. And some of the bigger gamers who are the game companies who are involved, for more of you stock market people who are investing, like how do I actually invest in esports? Because you can't necessarily buy a stake in any of these teams. And how do I get on the phenomenon? It's growing, but I can't just invest in Team Liquid or League of Legends necessarily. But you can invest in the gamers, the gaming companies. So Electronic Arts launched a competitive gaming division. Tencent Holding owns Riot Games, so they're the League of Legends maker. That's one of the biggest games in the world. They have the league they're starting up. Tournaments are played all throughout the year based on League of Legends. Activision Blizzard is a big company. They own Major League Gaming now, which was one of the first big Major League professional esports companies, and they bought it for $50 million a couple years ago. And they own Overwatch title, which is the new league, a big first-person shooter game, Call of Duty. So they're in the esports world. And Take-Two Interactive is one we haven't talked about yet. And they own NBA 2K, which is the NBA's video game. And they are getting in, along with the NBA, partnering together to, in 2018, have an NBA 2K league that are partnered with the city teams. So say the Golden State Warriors have a Golden State Warriors 2K team that is going to compete against the Cleveland Cavaliers 2K team in a season long, just like the NBA, but it's all people playing NBA 2K video games. So they're in on that. And then another big company that is also getting in on the esports phenomenon is Time Warner, because they partnered, their subsidiary Turner partnered with IMG to start E-League, which is a big esports, I don't want to say thing, but it's they're playing it on TBS. So esports is going to be on TBS. They have a website that streams content that is similar to ESPN in a way that if you go on eLeague.com, there are live shows that are focused directly on esports, commentary, upcoming events, looking at things. TBS hires big time what they call casters, which are the broadcasters, and then there are analysts, so people who know exactly what's going on with the game. So TBS is taking this streaming service, which has been everyone watching this online, and they're trying to sort of reverse engineer how it started on streaming platforms to television and treating it like a regular sport where there is a color analyst and a play-by-play guy, and they do post-game, pre-game. It's pretty cool. I'd say give it a shot. Just Google TBS E-League. It's pretty crazy. And then another way you could possibly invest is a new sports-based ETF. We just had them on the podcast. Nick Fullerton was one of the co-founders, and that is Sports ETFs LLC, and they trade under the ticker FANZ. And right now, they're currently focused on companies that sponsor the four big major North American sports, but those sponsors are also already starting to jump in to esports. So big companies like Coke and Geico are already starting to sponsor esports. So that's one way you could also get in on the esports action to say right now. And that does it for us here today at Full Court Finance. And now you know a little bit more about the booming world of esports. And if you have any questions, you can shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. And until next time, I'm Ben Rains.